We are back. We're going to be joined now by our two special guests, one being Dr. Joanne Powell. She's a scientist, a lovely scientist at that. She's a member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority. Even though I'm an AKA, I won't say too much about that. And then we're going to talk to Clement Bolton. Clement Bolton, rather, is a graduate student here. So let me first jump in. Clement is a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. That's just a little side story there. Okay, so Dr. Powell, let's first talk about most people when you think about coming to school, studying, the first thing might not necessarily be, I want to be a scientist, but you're a scientist. Let's talk about what made you want to be one.
Okay, and that's very true. It was true for myself either. I'm an HBCU baby, and during my time as an undergraduate, I had no idea actually what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. I just knew I was good at science and I enjoyed doing it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea people would pay me to ask questions.
Paying you for something you love.
Right. Pay you basically to ask questions and then, you know, go out and find the answers to those. And it was an internship at Roswell Park Cancer Institute where I actually got to be in a laboratory and figure out that this was the type of position that would allow me to have the independence to ask the questions that I want and pay me at the same time. So I thought, this is it.
And then, of course, you're doing amazing research as well. That's also going to help people in our community and probably beyond. So talk about some of the research that you've been working on so far.
Right. So our center as a whole focuses on prostate cancer research. Mm-hmm. And that particular type of cancer was chosen because it disproportionately, of course, affects the African-American community. So 1 in 6 of men in their lifetime will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and 1 in 36 will die from the disease. But for African-Americans, the mortality associated with that is twice that of the Caucasians. Mm-hmm. So doing this type of research, you can see how it directly impacts the communities that we live in. The work that I do is concerned with how the environment will affect prostate cancer progression, particularly. Quite often, our communities are in places where we're more closely located near particular factories mm-hmm. or environments of that nature. And there has been a great deal of research done on whether or not those environments lend to increasing the incidence of cancers in our community.
And then, of course, we're also talking about the food that we eat as well, because sometimes we know that our community may not always get the proper amounts of fruits and vegetables and the
exactly.
things that should go into our bodies to either ward off those types of cancers or just live a better and a healthier lifestyle. So have you found a lot of that information that the food we eat
exactly
is causing?
Both ward off and in some instances research suggests protects us. So we know that research has suggested that diets that are high in fat contents or high in red meat intake have a chance of increasing the incidence of prostate cancer, and vice versa, diets that are high in vegetables and fruits tend to have a lower incidence mm-hmm. in prostate cancer incidence.
Clement, let me have you jump on in here now. Let's talk about you being a graduate student, and I understand that this is also a subject that's important to you as well.
Yes, it is. First, I want to just give a shout out to everybody at CCRTD. You know, Dr. Powell, Dr. Kim, Dr. Khan, you know, because you would never know this as, you know, not being in touch with, you know, the center, but it's one of the largest research centers in the country. Mm-hmm. And it's right here in downtown Atlanta, Clark Atlanta University. So that, you know, at a HBCU, that's what means a lot to me. You know, my undergraduate degree came from Hampton University and we support HBCU. So for me to come and study prostate cancer, which my uncle died of prostate cancer, and that made it real. I never really wanted to study prostate cancer, but when, you know, my uncle had prostate cancer along with, you know, many other cancers, it just made me want to, you know, at least know more about the disease. And I can go to a HBCU and, you know, they pay me to come to school. They pay me to learn, and they pay for my classes. I couldn't turn that down. So
that's a win-win in every front, right?
And I talked to my godfather about it. He said, man, if you don't go, I'm going to take my belt off. And I'm like, I'm a grown man, you know. So, you know, that helped me make my decision to study prostate cancer and that I have the potential to, you know, be a doctor, something that, you know, you don't see so much in our community, you know, it's on television somewhere so far-fetched, but just the fact that, you know, it's in our neighborhood, that makes mm-hmm. it very personal. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to come to come to Clark and be a part of the CCRTD.
Let me let you know, too, if you want to ask us a question via Twitter, you can do that at CCRTD, or you can also give us a phone call. We are still here waiting for you if you have a question for the scientist, Dr. Powell, if you have a question for Clement Bolton. Bolton, I don't know why I want to call you something else, but it's Bolton.
Yes.
It's the number is 404-880-9255. Again, that number is 404-880-9255. So, Clement, you talked about your uncle having prostate uh-huh. cancer and seeing the personal effects on that. What specifically did you want to learn about the disease so that you can hopefully ward it off for somebody that you know or just in our community or for yourself?
Well, first of all, you know, it's the health disparity, you know, it affects us more. And most of the time when you watch TV, oh, it affects African-Americans more, every disease, you know. And that was a problem to me. Like, okay, prostate cancer affects us more. Breast cancer affects us more. Mm-hmm. Everything bad affects us more at a greater rate, a greater incidence rate. So, you know, what is it about us? So my first question, you know, having health disparities, do we have an African-American cell line? And, you know, like when you study cancer, you study with cancer cells. So we have, you know, normal cells, which are RWP1 cells and LNCAP. And now I'm going to explain the cell lines as prostate cancer develops because, you know, you get the disease and it develops. So normal cells, and then you have LNCAP cells, which, you know, is not as aggressive. Then DU145 cells, which get more aggressive. And then PC3 cells, which are cells that spread. Now, cancer doesn't kill you. The spread of cancer or cancer metastasis, that's what kills you. And about 90% of the time, that's what kills you. So we have these diseases, we have these cell lines, and it affects us, but we don't have an African-American cell line. If I'm studying health disparity, that's the first cell line I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? It doesn't take a scientist to say that, you know?
Right.
I was fresh off the streets, and I came and said, okay, do we have an African-American cell line? Now, the first day that I looked at the African-American cell line and I tested it, oh, man, it felt so good. That was the highlight of my career. You know, I'm going into my third year, and I felt like,
right.
I felt like, you know, Charles Richard Drew. I felt like I had discovered the world, and then my advisor told me, do it again.
Which is normally what we say.
Dr. Bell, let me ask you, because I always like to ask scientists or medical professionals, do you believe at some time we will either find a cure for prostate cancer or be able to at least discover it fast enough to where some of the treatments won't necessarily be necessary based on the research and studies that you've done thus far?
I absolutely believe that. I think that the research we're doing already is leading to better treatments for prostate cancer. And like Clement was saying, it's actually the metastasis that is related to mortality associated with all cancers. So in particular, my research is looking at, for African American men in particular, we know that they tend to have a higher PSA, whether they're normal or cancer patients, they have a higher PSA than other races. That's what the research we're trying to figure out
why
research.
That happens. Okay.
And our research is not just trying to figure out why they have a higher PSA, but how do we bring that down? Because we know that if men can are able to generate a PSA of less than 2 nanograms per mil after therapy, that their survival rates increase.
Let me ask this question, and I don't believe that there is any question that's an ignorant question, but I want to ask, do you believe in some ways, because most people believe African American men are well endowed in areas, that could be something that would be linked to prostate cancer, or am I just way off?
So I think one thing that's definitely linked, and I want to say about African-American men, and this is having 4 brothers and a father who all fit this characteristic, is that it's really hard to get them to the doctor.
Yes. Right.
So African-American men, when they're diagnosed with prostate cancer, it's normally at a later stage.
Mm.
And that contributes greatly to the mortality rates that we see with them. And I know even for my father, who just recently, last year, died from lung cancer, we did not know or weren't able to detect it because he literally would leave for appointments but go to the store for a little while and then come back and say I've been to
He
a
went. Place. Okay.
Right.
So, just didn't want to know.
Right. And by the time we're able to, or that cancer is diagnosed, it's in a very late stage. In those later stages, we don't currently have as many treatments for later stage cancers as we do for early stage. Yeah. So if prostate cancer is detected early, it's almost 100% cure rate for it. When later stages is a 29% five-year survival rate for late-stage prostate cancer. So that's a huge difference.
Clement, your thoughts?
You know, it's I was taking this class, and I talked to one of my professors, and I said, you know, we should have a better way to screen for prostate cancer. You know, let's do MRI. You know, let's just look at the gland, because MRIs look at tissue. Let's just look at the tissue. And my professor said, that's a great idea. Bolden, who's going to pay for it? Are you going to pay for it? No. You know, an MRI can cost between $8,000 and $12,000.
Yeah, those are expensive.
And he asked me, do you know how much, DRE, digital rectal exam, do you know how much that is? I was like, no, I don't. He said $8. So,
But I think when you compare it, I don't think most men want anybody doing anything
You're
in
right.
that area
You're
of
right.
their body. But I do understand, before you even have to get to that area, you could just do a blood test, right? Isn't that the first step?
Yeah, but like...
The digital rectal exam is a part
of the first step.
Of the exam.
Okay.
But I always say to people, I think you would much rather have that exam than later be sitting through surgeries, chemo, and radiation, which are common treatments for prostate cancer.
And then I also think about it, too. And don't forget, we're still waiting for your phone call. If you have a question, 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. The other thing that I always find interesting is that if I were a man and I'm going to get a prostate exam, nobody has to know it but me. So nobody has to know that I'm, you know, having to be checked in that area other than me. So
you don't have to put it on social media.
It doesn't have to be on social media. I don't have to tell anybody if I don't want to tell anybody.
No.
So that's the part that I think I have such a problem understanding, why men don't want to go do it, because it's a private matter.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I was at that point, too, because, you know, they say, you know, when you're an African-American male, you should start getting, you know, a prostate exam at between 40 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't want to go get a prostate exam. And I told my same professor, you know, that's dehumanizing. You know, what man wants to go through that? And he said, no. And he asked me, have I ever had a pap smear? What? No.
Thank you.
And he said, you know, women do this every year.
Thank
you. You do this when you're 40 and then once every 5 years. So, you know, just calm down. Go to the doctor. Get checked. You know, it's not that hard. I mean, I've never had to do it, so I don't really know. But
you will. Keep living.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
and
coming.
I plan to, because I don't want to study prostate cancer and have it. You know,
right.
I have to research on myself.
Right.
That's all bad. So, you know, it's we just trying to get the community to know, please go get checked. It's not that hard. You can cure this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Dr. Powell said, you know, it's I would rather go get a digital rectal exam than have to take chemotherapy, because it costs more.
Right. And it could kill you.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm dead, I'm not worried about the money. I'm, you know, so
you're not worried about anything
exactly.
if you're dead.
But it costs less,
right?
Let's look at the cost, you know. And with us, it's all about the dollar, you know, and save yourself some money, and you know, you can live longer.
Let me ask you, Dr. Powell, because I know one of the things about being a scientist is when you discover or uncover things, but it also has to be frustrating in some ways when you constantly study the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you're still not able to move the research or find out anything new. So it's just, is that frustrating or am I wrong?
It's so funny you ask that. I was just having this conversation with my graduate student earlier last week. And I actually don't look at it like that. Every time we've asked a question, and even if the answer turns out to be no, we've learned something. We now know what is not an issue or what is not a factor, and we can eliminate that and move on to the next thing. So in a sense, it seems like, I think for people who aren't scientists regularly, like, it takes a long time and progress seems slow. But every day we're discovering something that is true or is not true that either promotes or will inhibit progression of prostate cancer.
Okay. I guess it's all in the way you look at it.
It is.
Or think about it. All right, we've got a phone call. We have Lita. Hey, Lita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing that wonderful work there at the center. And I'm a biomedical engineer. I've been doing some research in other countries also. and studying some of the natural remedies that are in Central America. I was wondering if the center is open to studying things such as salt palmetto and sour sap, and different herbs that have been found in the rainforest and different parts of the world that can alleviate this problem of cancer, the spreading of the cancer.
Dr. Paola, I'll let you jump in on that one.
I'm so glad you asked that. So in my lab, personally, we've started looking at curcumin, which is found in the spice turmeric, and looking at its abilities to lead to apoptosis or death of cancer cells. So there is a myth that people or cultures that have that eat a lot of spicy foods have a lower incidence of cancer, and we're wondering if it has something to do with this particular compound. So we're studying that, and we've had some very interesting preliminary results that we're really excited about. And also,
what are the preliminary results that you're excited about? I want to know, because here's the thing: I take a little bit of turmeric every single day. Right. I used to do it in pill. Now I do it in the powder form. Mm-hmm. I brush my teeth immediately after because it can't stain your teeth. However, that's just cosmetically. Right. But I've noticed the differences as far as swelling and some other things that I like about this spice.
Right. So briefly, and not to get too technical mm-hmm. about it, we found that it is able to induce death in cancer cells, but only certain cancer cells that overexpress certain factors.
Which cancer cells? Which ones?
Well, prostate cancer cells. Okay. Those are the ones that I'm working with. But they overexpress certain factors that I work with, particularly ones that are the aryl hydrocarbon receptor, which is a receptor that environmental toxins bind to often. So we're working under the hypothesis that that curcumin may also bind to that receptor to induce apoptosis of only those cells.
You sound so smart.
She is.
Clement, you want to jump in on that one, or you think she said it pretty much?
She said everything. I just okay her.
That's wonderful to hear. Any other information that you've learned other than turmeric?
Well, I was going to say Dr. Deramaro, who works on metastasis of prostate cancer, she's working or looking at muscadine grapeseed extract and how it affects the movement of cancer cells, which is very important because, like Clement said earlier, if you have a tumor in your prostate or breast and you're able to stop it from moving to other parts of your body, well, then you won't die from it, at least, right? Mm-hmm. So her research on that has been very, very interesting as well.
Don't forget the phone number to call is 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. Jumping back on that last thing you said, it's what kind of grape?
Muscadine.
Muscadine.
Yeah.
Is that found here?
Yeah. I have some growing in my backyard right now.
Really?
Yeah.
So I can come to your house and get a muscadine?
You can. Since seeing Dr. Mara's research, I pick a few every weekend.
And is it reminiscent? It tastes like what?
Maybe it's like a larger size grape.
Okay.
Purple.
Okay.
Grape. And they're very good, actually. Yeah.
I need to go get me some muscadines soon. I am a breast cancer survivor, but even if I wasn't, I would still want to. So yeah. Where is we can talk about where you live a little bit later on.
Okay.
That way I can come by and get some. Okay. Don't forget 404-880-9255, or you can tweet us a question at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. Coming up next, we're going to talk to, well, I'm not going to put her name out there yet, but she's going to tell us some of, she claims that she's really not that great on radio, but I told her we're going to just have a conversation, so it won't be all that bad. Anything else we want to talk about, Dr. Powell, as far as your research is concerned? Is there anything that you would like to work on that you haven't had the time to do so just yet when it comes to prostate cancer research?
So I'm very interested in knowing if the protein that I'm studying now could be used as a possible biomarker to learn when, so that we're able to kind of weed out which of those cancers will progress on to a more untreatable form.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, maybe we can alleviate people having over-treatment if we're able to kind of tease out those ones that we'll know will progress and the ones won't. And then we can be a little bit more aggressive with the men who we can identify their cancers as being more aggressive.
So walk me through this. You've started working on this particular, when you say protein, right?
Yes.
So what is a typical period of time that you do a study? Is that weeks? Is that months? Is that years?
Well, it really depends on the study and the question that we're asking. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, with curcumin, if we were asking whether or not it would induce or cause cell death in cells which were growing in petri dishes, we can do those experiments in the course, the first set of those, in the course of a day or two.
Oh, okay.
If I'm asking something, what we call in vivo, which is in a small animal model, that could take the course of a few weeks or a few months. To complete a whole study, which includes a series of experiments, can take a couple of years to complete from beginning to end.
Really got to have some patience. All right. Let's talk to Beverly, who's in Austell, who has a question. Hey, Beverly.
Hi. My brother just in the last couple of weeks was just diagnosed with prostate cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. It's very disturbing because he was just diagnosed and it's already metastasized in his bone. And I just can't understand why he had never been asked or recommended to have his PSA checked. He had never, no doctor had ever asked them to have the test done until just a few weeks ago. And when they tested him, they realized that he had cancer.
So what's your question? You want to know why no other doctor, why doctors missed it?
I wonder why, if statistically, black men are more, or African American men are more likely to be diagnosed and usually at a more advanced stage. Why isn't it routine where doctors are screening them? Like when I go to the doctor, I'm always asked, have you had your mammogram this year?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. And I think one of the goals of our community outreach program is that we want to encourage all men going into the doctors to be informed patients. And so if your physician isn't asking you if you want to have your PSA levels or you want to take your PSA test, that you're asking them, why haven't you asked me about this? And isn't it time that I have a PSA test and a digital rectal exam? We're in the community quite often at churches and things, just trying to get the word out. It's very important that we become informed patients so that we can decrease the chances or the times in which these stories or stories like yours are heard.
May I ask to both of you, Dr. Powell and to Clement, do you believe that it might be a good idea too, because we're having a problem with men going in when it's a little too late, should they have a sister, a wife, a girlfriend? So if you are going to the doctor, you always need to have that plus one who can be the one to ask that question if your husband, boyfriend, brother won't.
Absolutely. I think that would help a lot. And from my personal experience with my father, I'm not trusting my husband to go. I will be driving him there,
mm-hmm.
right? And I will be sitting there. And I think that it's very important. We do it for each other. You know, I talk to my girlfriends and I ask them, have you done your monthly breast exam? And I ask my brothers who are over 40, have they had their exam and did they get PSA screenings and have they had their exams? And it might not be the best and easiest
conversation yeah,
to have
necessary.
With them, but I want to hear the right answer.
Clement, what do you think should happen really quickly?
I agree with Dr. Powell. You know, sometimes when you go to the doctor, you're nervous,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're afraid of what you might hear. You know, you're afraid of that, and that fear kind of has a hold on you. So if you can have somebody else that's not, you know, afraid with you, so that support system, you know, I think, you know, men fare better, you know, because your wife is going to take you.
You know?
Your sister is going to take you. So it's like, you know, Dr. Powell said her dad would go by himself and, oh, yeah, I did that.
Right.
You know, so it's good to have somebody to go to just make sure.
You need a buddy system,
yeah,
bottom
yeah,
line.
Yeah, a buddy system.
Really quickly before we go, let's talk to Ladina in Decatur. Ladina, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Since you all look at health disparities and we know that prostate cancer, or there's a higher incurrence in African-American men versus Caucasian men, have you all investigated or are you aware of those men of African descent, whereas maybe there's a higher occurrence in African men versus African-American versus Dominican? Or do you even consider a disparity in that respect?
Well, can I please... answer this question.
Go ahead, jump
First
in.
Of all, this is my wife, Dr. Bolton. This is my wife, Dr.
Hey
Bolton.
Hey there.
Well, first of all, you know, let me just say, you know, I was reading this paper, actually maybe today or yesterday, and it was, you know, showing where they had done this research, and they mapped a part of the chromosome that's present in men of African descent. So as far as looking at, you know, regional places or geography, you know, they don't look at it like that in this study. They looked at it as having, you know, a genetic basis. So if you are from African American descent, you may have this chromosome or this region of your chromosome that has, you know, different mutations on it. So as far as that, that's all I can say, but I read that paper like yesterday.
I know one thing. Y'all can talk about that later on tonight, Dr. Bolton. So nice to meet you via your voice. Your husband speaks very highly of you. I heard the backstory about how you met, but I won't put that out on the airways. But thank you so much for your question. We're coming right back.